Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're having a good time in the studio already.
No,
he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. It is a, can I say this? It's a crappy day to be driving out today, freeways, regular roads, especially the side streets where they haven't plowed too much, but even the freeways aren't that great.
If you feel you're starting to lose it, just step on it.
Just step on it.
Don't follow that advice, folks.
No.
Oh, there's the usual meatheads in a ditch on the way in.
That's going to happen.
Well, anyway, people flying by, one knucklehead in a truck pulling a trailer comes racing by.
Yeah, we come to you every Saturday. You know, even on crappy days like today and last week, we still come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We're still here talking with you about the out-of-doors and other stuff that might concern you or not. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the show, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Or email us at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. All right. I got a lot of stuff here for us today, Danny, too.
We got a big show at the quarter to seven. We'll get a call from Evert.
Evert and Dan Johnson. Vorster.
I think.
Evert Vorster.
Dan Johnson. Oh, it's Evert and Captain Mike are going to call in. I think they'll both probably call in. And we got the technology to have two people on the line at once. We got that.
We got the technology.
Yeah, they would just have to call the hotline and then want us to call the warm line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when they
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. We'll let you take care of that because you're producing over there.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. That's why you
can earn your money today instead of taking a nap.
Yeah.
Back
Tom
there.
Will give you a big tip. Take you to lunch or something.
Oh, if I could take naps back there, that'd be
great.
Yeah. And then at 7:05, do we got?
Oh yeah, Wally Cook is calling at 7:05 from Walleyes Unlimited.
Okay.
Their big ice jamboree is today the 18th. It's today.
That's correct.
Yeah.
El Guapo.
It's today. Yeah.
Rectamundo. And so, then at 7:35, we're going to have Tom Mitchell from the Waukesha Gun Club.
Wow, we got a lot of stuff
going on. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, and this Evert Vorster, he's been on every year the last several years. Him and his wife and kids, they own a African safari in South Africa, and he's going to talk about how if you're interested, who to call, what to do. They got a Don't they have some kind of meet and greet?
Something's going to go on. So we'll let him.
Yeah, we'll let him explain that.
Lucy.
Yeah.
And
so if you're interested, make sure you're listening because he'll tell where that is.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, and we got Danny. I found a few interesting things.
Okay, tell me some of your interesting things.
Okay, real
and
quick,
and then I'll share some later.
Did you know?
Nope.
That wolves kill more deer than gun hunters in five counties in Wisconsin. Now, I don't know how the DNR knows that. I don't know how they know that.
Well, they did like a Gallup poll of the wolves, just like presidential polls, right?
Is that right?
They're highly accurate, Tom.
Yeah, highly accurate.
Just like they predicted Trump would lose.
Yeah, more deer.
You can't trust that wolf poll then.
More deer killed by wolves than by hunters. That's they were also the ones who told us that we'd only have a maximum of 80 to 100 wolves in the state of Wisconsin. They told us that, too, many years ago.
I thought it was 200 to 300 wanted.
In this article, it said 80 to 100.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe that was the first thing they came out, and then they re-upped it.
I think that's what they had, and they were hoping to get it to double it to 200, 300.
Yeah.
Why would they ever think that wouldn't be able to explode, that population?
I know.
Because think about it. They got food.
Yep.
They got water.
Yep.
And they got habitat.
Yeah, they got great habitat.
So now they got elk. We brought those in on the menu.
Yep.
So they got all the stuff they can use. I don't know. Personally, I don't think I don't care, to be honest with you.
I know. I don't care.
There's enough deer out there.
The wolves
Heck,
are
I see deer every year. Yeah. So.
But it's just, I just thought it was funny when I saw that. Who do you got on the line, Sam?
Our old friend, Kevin in Maple Ridge.
Oh, hey. Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Oh, very good. Good morning.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Kevin. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Hey, Kevin, don't go driving this morning. It's kind of nasty out there.
my brother has to shovel the snow.
Yeah, you're not going to help him today?
No.
No. Okay, you're a smart guy.
Anyway.
Yeah, what's up?
Moving right along.
Moving right along, Kevin. You're right.
Yes. A couple of fishy questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shoot.
Fishy.
Number one. Question number one.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom or Dan? Okay. Who's here? Dan?
Both of us.
Okay. Dan, you might know this.
Okay.
When you were a little kid.
Yep. Remember it well.
What was that saying? Fishy, fishy in a brook.
Come and bite him by the hook. Come and bite my hook?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Fishy, fishy in the brook.
Come and bite my little hook?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember the fishy, fishy in the brook part of it.
Was there more to it, Kevin?
Yeah. Fishy, fishy in a brook. Mama caught him by the hook. Baby fry him in the pan.
Oh.
Oh, that's it.
And
Mama eat him
like a man.
Yeah.
You know,
you didn't know that, did you?
Oh no,
I just remember Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yeah, you can learn
Let
more.
Let Thomas come
like,
over.
Yeah. Anyway,
question number two.
How do you prepare smoked fish?
Take it away, Tom.
Well, you mean how do you? Make them smoked fish, or what do you do with them after they're smoked?
Eat all of the above, Tom.
Well, you smoke them on a smoker for one thing. You got to brine them first, of course.
What kind of brine, Tom?
That's a long story.
Well, come on.
You got to brine them first, put them on a smoker until they're done, and then you just eat them plain, or you can make smoked fish out of them, a pate or whatever.
Pate.
A spread. You know, whatever. You can do a lot of things.
Well, how do you get the bones?
You got to pick the bones out.
How do you get the bones out of those?
When I smoke salmon, yeah, you got to. Well, actually, when it's smoked, it's like cooked, and it like the meat peels right off the bones.
So it's kind of like finger food. You take your fork and stuff, and
it peels right off.
If you're a Cro-Magnon man and don't care, you just grab it with your fingers and rip hunks off the bone.
Yeah, it peels off very easily. Very easily.
Yeah, flakes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Carl's Country Meat, which is one of our sponsors, makes fantastic smoked salmon if you ever want to bring one over there.
You know, years ago, stores used to carry, and I still think they carry them, not as much as before, but smoked chubs.
Yes.
Chubs from Lake Michigan, and those were delicious. Those were excellent.
You can use those ice fishing for pike, you know, too.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, see, you just got to go out and get some.
Right.
What are you guys doing after the show?
I'm going to be snow blowing at home.
You can't have breakfast with us?
Nope. I got to snow blow when I get home. I got orders from headquarters.
Appreciate the offer.
Yeah,
I have to get to an ice fishery that's going on. So, plus I got to try and get home before the weather gets worse.
Yeah, it's nasty driving. I mean, I don't want to drive as much. I'm as little as possible. I want to drive today.
Yeah, the roads are tough, Kevin. We saw people in the ditches and stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty nasty out there. So
yeah,
what's no fun?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, sturgeon spearing is right around the corner. Okay.
Oh yeah, I was gonna.
Yeah, sturgeon spearing right around the corner.
Ask you guys about that. How do you prepare those?
I don't know. I never had one, and I hear they're not that great. But
They're not bad.
They're not
bad. My brother makes it's like.
That's right. Your brother got.
Yeah,
one.
You can make it like bake it. I think you bake it, and it's it's like a dry kind of a meat. But it's okay, I guess.
But all the big ones caught every year seem to be all females. And then they, what they do is they use the eggs to make caviar.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. And they use the eggs to make caviar. But I got a question for you, Kevin.
Yeah, what is it?
Take a guess on this. Last year, the 2019 100 yes. pound club, okay, of sturgeon over 100 pounds. What do you think the biggest one was? The biggest sturgeon caught last year?
I have no idea.
Want to just take a guesstimate?
Ten pounds.
How about 171 pounds?
Holy smokes.
Yeah, those sturgeon are big, man.
Yeah, they're big. They're probably like, weighs more like than
a,
you.
They look like a small shark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're big.
They're huge.
And they're prehistoric, too.
Yeah, last year, 32 of them over 100 pounds were caught. So, and the biggest one being 171. That's, and they were all female, too. Everyone.
No, I was going to use that for my Hornswoggle.
You know, guys.
Oh, well, you can still use it. People,
no, I can't.
If people are listening.
Nope, you ruined it, Tom.
Okay.
Once again.
I ruined it.
Once again, Tom put his fingers in the pie.
That's all right. Well, there's.
You know, guys.
What?
Yeah, what? See how,
what?
You know, guys, I don't see how these aids are going to come up here.
You mean in the weather, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, to get to Maple Ridge?
Yeah.
Well, you got some dedicated, caring,
there.
Wonderful people. And if they drive slow and they're on the city streets, they can probably maneuver their way there. Yeah. If you get out on the highway, that's where you get meatheads spinning out and stuff. So
yeah.
I think they should be there okay for you.
Well, my brother doesn't even want to shovel it.
Well, but sometimes you just have to.
Tell him to buy a Husqvarna snowblower.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, Kevin, thanks for calling.
Thanks
nice talking to you again.
Good hearing from you again, buddy.
Oh, hey, you guys, if somebody knows that poem, call in.
Yeah, for the ending, because we don't quite know the ending.
Someone want to you clarify our fishy-fishy in the brook?
Yeah, all right.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Bye now. Hey, Dan, there's another one about, not wolves, but did you hear about the McGuanago woman who shot two, not one, but two elk accidentally? Did you hear about that?
This past season?
Yeah, this past fall.
So she shot one and just kept blazing away at the other one?
She thought they were small bucks, because she thought they were bucks, because it had a rack about 2 feet high. But that's like an immature bull.
Right.
And she shot two of them, so she's got to pay $23,000 in fines.
$23,000?
Yeah. And she's got to spend 2 years riding the bench. Oh, no, I take it back. That's not that woman.
Come on, Tom.
Okay, she's going to face $6,100 in fines.
Yeah, because I was going to say $23,000 is way too much.
$6,100 in fines. Okay, that's what she's going to get.
Right.
And she was from she was a McGuanago woman, but hunting in Ladysmith area.
Okay, what's the other one?
Yeah, and the other one, I was thinking of the $23,000. A former Minnesota guide, deer hunting guide, came to Wisconsin, shot a farm buck, which are really big, right? The bucks on the farms. On the game farms?
Yes.
Shot a big buck on a game farm, took it to North Carolina, and said he shot it in the woods in Montello area. Well, I guess that's illegal to do. He wasn't supposed to transport that deer and whatever else. I don't know. He's got a $23,000 fine and 2 years of no hunting.
What do you mean, what do you get?
I don't know if the transporting,
It say the fine was? What did he do illegal? No. He transported.
He tried passing off a Wisconsin game farm buck as a fair chase archery kill.
So he tried registering it illegally down there so he'd look like a hero in the record books.
Something like that, yeah. I'll tell you what, I saved that there's the front piece and then the second piece right like that, so... Okay. If you want to look at that during a break. But, you hear this stuff constantly about people shooting the wrong animals or too many or trying to finagle their way to whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, just do it legally in the right way, you know?
Got a buzzer in their deer hunting coat so another person can buzz them right before the buck comes by.
Yeah, right. Hey, folks, if you want to get
cheaters.
In touch with us.
They're all cheaters.
Yeah, they're all cheaters. They're all, what's that coach's
eater,
name?
Eater, pumpkin eater.
What's that coach's name of the Patriots? They're all Belichicks and Beltrons now, I guess. Belichicks and Beltrons.
Coras and Hinches, too.
And those two, yeah, all of them. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. Short break coming up, so stay tuned. You got any comments or questions, 799-1250, right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies.
All right. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush. He's Tom Neubauer. A couple quick announcements here. I mentioned if somebody's looking for something to do this winter, there's the beginner's fly tying class, which is January 22nd and 29th. So you can contact the fly fisher shop there out in Brookfield area. There's, of course, today we're going to have a call-in, but just a heads up that at AJ's Bar and Grill, you got the fishery going on today. So that's going on. And what else is going on today, Tom?
Well, according to our friend right here, Bob in Stumpy Bay, he was reminding us something I was going to bring up, but he was reminding us that this is free fishing weekend in Wisconsin.
That's another thing I was going to mention.
Yeah,
yes.
Free fishing weekend, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So,
well, is anybody even going to be able to take advantage of it, Tom?
Yeah, I think so.
Are people getting out on the ice now?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
You've heard that?
Yes.
Your contacts, your people told you that?
Yep.
What lakes have you heard they've been on?
A lot of, well, to the north of us, quite a
well,
few.
Well, then, well,
but around
the,
here,
well,
yeah,
well,
a lot of them around.
Well, of course, in Minocqua they're getting
no,
on.
I'm, but I'm saying that, I mean, around here, a lot of lakes. Even, well, they got a big, my son Nick Lockie was telling me there's a big kids, it was a big thing for kids out on Monona.
Yeah.
Or Mendota. I think it's Monona Bay. They all the kids go out. They cook them hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever. They instruct them on how to ice fish. If there's enough ice, they go out and they fish. If not, they kind of like what they do around here, you know.
That's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I think
right.
That's February 6th. 7th. They're going to have like six Milwaukee parks.
Right,
there's going
right.
to be something going
yeah.
on.
Well, they do kind of like the same thing out there on Monona Bay. It's the Yahara Fishing Club
okay.
that puts it on. So if somebody were to Google Yahara Fishing Club, I'm sure you could find out all about it. Nick said that his sister-in-law and brother-in-law, or his sister-in-law took her kids out there last year and they had a ball. You know, they had a lot of fun, and she said there was a lot of people. So there's that going on. So
when does the battle at Bago go on?
When oh, that's I don't.
Is that more like mid-February?
That's got to be in February. I think it's right after sturgeon spearing. I think it's after sturgeon
spearing.
Oh, yeah,
so the sturgeon spearing's coming up first. And do remember that if you did miss Temple Bay Lodge at the All-Canada show, they will be up there at Battle in the Bagels, you can book a family trip up to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coming up.
And when do you got to get those sturgeon spearing tags, licenses, whatever? When do you got to get one of those?
You can just, I don't know, I think you can just buy an over-the-counter one for sturgeon general. But,
yeah.
you know, for that upriver one where
yeah,
you got
that's
the better.
Special.
Yeah, where you got like the, you know, 70-80% success rate or chance at one,
yeah.
like my brother got
yeah.
1 year ago. That's kind of like putting in for your bear permit. You got to put in and
okay.
you get into that lottery type thing over and over. And my brother, I was supposed to, when he got the one with the spear years ago, he said, yeah, man, you start putting in now. And by the time you're retired, I'll take you on out and we'll, you know, you'll maybe have a permit and get one. And of course, I never bothered putting in for the permits. I don't know. I'm still putting in the bear permits.
Yeah.
But my brother... He's still doing the sturgeon, but he's not doing the bear. And I tell him, Tim, you can always shoot another bear. I already got one with the bow. He doesn't. I'm like, hey, I like bear hunting's fun, so I'd like to do that again. And one thing, I learned this, and this is for all our listeners out there. Even if you don't think you're going to bear hunt, you should put in because once you're eligible and you can get the permit, I believe that you can, if you don't want it, you can like seed it over.
Yep, you can give it to somebody else.
You can give it to like I think either a veteran or a disabled kid or something like that. So, I mean, you could help make some Make-A-Wish, some sick kid's dream come true just by you taking the time to send in the $2 or whatever for the next 7 years. And all of a sudden, you might be able to do something good for somebody. So I think everybody ought to be putting in, because even if you're not going to go shoot one yourself, do something good for someone else.
Yeah.
You're still not going to go pay the $3.
I'm not going to go bear hunting ever. I never.
Well, how about go pay the $3 like I just was talking about? How about I'll give you the $3 and you can do it in your name when you buy your fishing license?
I'd have to remember to do that every year.
Whoa.
Okay, I'll try to remember.
I don't want to knock you out on that one there.
I'll try to remember this year. I'll try to remember. Gee whiz.
You remember your wife's anniversary, but.
Yeah, browbeating me right away. Well, yeah, I got to remember her the anniversary. Oh, my God. Goodness, I better remember
put
that.
Put one in for her name, too, while you're
I'll put one in for
one
her.
In for,
yeah. Put one in for the grandkids.
Put one
right
in
away.
For the wife.
Yeah. Yeah, my son Nick said, I asked him if he was going to start, you know, putting in again and go bear hunting again or try to bear hunt again.
Right.
And he said, I don't think so. He says, I shot one. He said, it was a lot of work, a lot of time.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, it is. It's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of money. You know, I mean, well, the expense of gasoline and driving. Oh, he was driving up to Price County every weekend.
See, I was fortunate in that my cousin's kids, they're, I guess, my second cousins, they bought their license. You got to have a license just to bait or anything.
Yeah, right.
So I went out there and set my stand up and put the first bunch of bait out, and then I give them $100.
Okay.
And he goes out to the cabin once a week, drives out on a four-wheeler, you know, checks the trail cam, emails me the pictures and puts the bait back. And then, and then when the season comes, Dan shows up, climbs the tree.
Yeah.
Bear walks in, boom.
Oh, you know what? Nick also, he was looking for, you know, the different types of bear bait that come in like 5 gallon buckets of all different things stuff. And Nick was looking online, and I forget if this was through Craigslist, eBay, whatever it was. And he found a guy who was selling a bunch of stuff, right? And Nick says, boy, I don't want that much stuff. The guy, I guess it was a lot, right? And he says, I don't need that much. I just need, you know, like this much. So the guy says, okay, I'll sell you this much, you know, whatever it was he wanted. And the guy says, and he did live far away from Nick. So he says, I'll deliver it. And Nick says, oh, okay, that sounds great. Because the guy, I guess, was happy to get rid of it.
Right, right.
He brought him everything. He says, look, you can have the rest of this, too. Nobody else called. You can have all of it. And Nick gets so much stuff.
Well, I got
He's going to have it for several years.
So I got, basically, I went to Big Woods Bear Baits, which is just on Highway 41, north of Green Bay, as it branches right. It goes off towards Peshtigo, Ocano, if you go left back in the day. I think, is that right by, I forget what little town's there, but then kind of heading towards Ocano Falls, Big Woods Bear Baits, and they've got everything that you need. And I think I paid about $100 for like $20. I got the big hollowed out bait log with the top, which is legal. So I figure, hey, yeah, I'll get the log right there. Throw that on the trailer. Got the big gallon, you know, the big drum, oil drum size of bait. And then basically he had the different scents and stuff. His favorite one was Fruit Loops. I still have, I think I still got a full bottle of that spray Fruit Loop. They like Fruit Loops. It's the breakfast cereal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I'd kind of mix it up, put some different stuff in, throw a little syrup on top, whatever. Yeah. And nowadays, you have to sometimes, now where I'm at, I'm not competing with any other bear baits, fortunately, or dog hunters. They can't hunt that big river valley, that big country there. But in some areas, you're competing with other people's bait stations. So it's kind of like, it's like competing, like you got a restaurant down one corner and you're competing with the other restaurant down the way to try and get the bear to come on in. So sometimes mixing it up a little bit. He mentioned that in areas where, like Canada and places where nobody else is baiting, the old bacon type, all that anise and bacon and stuff. But in areas where there's a lot of bait stations all using that same, you know, stuff, yeah. then you got to mix it up.
You got to have something different. You know, you touched on something that I remember my son telling me. He said that him and his father-in-law built it by the tree stand that they use. He for the bear bait station, he built this thing with these heavy rocks and logs and that. And Nick was saying, you know, this is heavy stuff. He says sometimes it takes the two of them to build it up, you know, pick up some of this heavy stuff. He says it's amazing how strong those bear are that just swat it off to the side. You know, just it's just like, get out of here. You know, just swat it off.
It is amazing. How,
And another thing was, I don't know, have you ever seen this guy? I don't know what his name is, called Meat Eater. It's a series on, it's on Netflix and other places you can find it, called Meat Eater. Guy goes hunting and fishing all over the world and eats everything. He loves eating the hearts, the livers, the gizzards of everything. I mean, he eats everything, right? Well, he made a mistake of he shot a bear, and they'll a lot of times just cook this stuff over open fires right out in the woods, right? And I think this was in Canada or Alaska, and so they got this bear meat on like skewers over the holes over the fire. Well, he says he learned his lesson. He ate it when it was still like medium rare, like he does with the venison and that.
Not a bad
and
idea.
He said he learned his lesson. He got that overblown trichinosis. And then he said something. He said, and worms, you wouldn't believe the worms. So I guess your body gets worms in it that they got to kill off. And he was a sick puppy. Him and the guy he was with, they were both very ill.
I would think that he should know that, though.
Yeah, he said, you know, I can't remember exactly.
If you're a food safety guy, and if he's with a guide up there, even I
don't know if he was with a guide. Maybe he was the guide. I don't know, you know.
Even I know that bear can have trichinosis and that you got to cook it thoroughly.
Well, you know, it's like I didn't know that until my son told me and his father-in-law told me about it. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I'm not a bear hunter. What do I know about it?
I will take that back. The first bear I shot in Canada in 1988, I just made all into burger, and we ate it all. And I guess I did most of it on the grill with barbecue sauce, and my roommates loved it and stuff. But I didn't really know anything. I guess I just naturally cooked it thoroughly.
Yeah, cooked it.
But I didn't realize. Well done, yeah. You know, another way that kills trichinosis, I believe I've read some things online that if you freeze something into a deep solid, the meat at a deep solid freeze for like a extended period of time, that can also knock out the trichinosis, I believe.
Like, well, they do that with pork. All the pork you buy, even if it's thawed and fresh pork at the grocery store, that has been previously frozen to kill the trichinosis, yeah. It's been, all been previously frozen.
That's not the only safeguard. Pork, in the past, people used to feed pigs garbage, and garbage would often can contain dead mice and that's why trichinosis was around back then. Nowadays, you know, with regulations and so forth and probably just common sense, they don't feed garbage to pigs anymore. They feed it good feed and so forth. So trichinosis in modern pork has all been but eliminated.
Yeah. But like I said, everyone is frozen though. They freeze them all. Hey, we got to go to a break. Coming up next, folks, is the Gut Report, and you wanna stay tuned for this one. If you don't write down the ingredients, then you just gotta go on our 1057FMTheFan.com and look up our show. Go to the podcast?
Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield.
Yeah, Fan on Demand, and that's if they go to 1057FMTheFan.com, right? Then they hit Fan on Demand.
Yep.
Okay. And just look for our show, because this is a recipe I've been neglecting over the years to give you. I thought it was too long, but I realized they're basic, simple ingredients, but you will love it. You will really enjoy this recipe. So stay tuned for more of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. All right, here we go, folks. Get your pencil and papers ready. Now, this is called a pea salad. Now, Bushy's going to like this because do you like peas?
I like pea soup.
Okay, well, you're going to like this. This is really good, and it's not hard to make. First thing you got to do.
Number one
is take a pound of bacon, fry it, and then chop it up, crumble it up, okay? Chop it up. That's the first thing. Put that in a big bowl. Then you take 2 bags of peas. They got to be thawed out. That's all. 2 bags, like they're 14 to 16 ounce bags. Throw those in there. You take a medium onion and finely dice that. Then you get 4 or 5 hard-boiled eggs and chop those up. Throw that in there. Then you do it's up to you when it comes to the Lowry's seasoned salt, okay? Yeah, a tablespoon, a couple teaspoons. It depends to your taste. And then you throw in about a quarter teaspoon of pepper, black pepper. Now, here's the funny thing, the mayonnaise. You got to use anywhere from a half a cup to a cup. You put enough into the consistency that you like. I'm generally putting in about a cup of mayonnaise. And then just mix all this stuff together. You got the bacon, you got the peas, you got the onion, you got the hard-boiled eggs, you got the Lowry's, you got the mayonnaise. I'm telling you, folks, when you're all done, and you know, here's the thing. It's good right away, but if you put it in the fridge and let those flavors meld together, you know, come together, it's even better later on. You can make this a day ahead of time before you take it to a party, and trust me, people will like it. Anybody that's ever tasted it in our family really likes it. So check that out, the pea salad. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, and no, they don't have pea salad. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Great choice there.
Yep.
I love the best part. And the man at the back. She thinks she's the passionate one.
When the man at the back, as a matter of fact, his eyes are as red as the sun. And the girl in the corner let no one ignore her. She thinks she's the passionate one.
Oh, yeah.
She must be the hot chick in the corner.
Yeah.
Nobody ignores.
I got to go get a coffee at this up break. But, you know, in the next break, right after this 6:45 commercials, we got Evert Vorster calling from South Africa. Well, he's not calling.
Sadaka.
Yeah, he's
Safaris.
Not. Sadaka Safaris. Now, he's not calling from South Africa. It's just that he's from South Africa.
He's calling from his private jet as he circles the globe, Tom.
Right. That's probably it.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Anyway, and he's going to be calling and telling us about the African safari stuff. So the Hornswoggle will not be done right after the 6:45 break.
Correct, Amundo.
Yeah.
That will be pushed into the second hour. So for those who want to win a $10 gift certificate to, what do they win, Tom?
Carl's Country Market.
Carl's Country, yeah. I just mentioned there. Great smoked fish, even any kind of trout or salmon, take it out there. They do a fantastic job. But $10 gets you some good stuff.
Yeah, and that's going to be done. We got Wally Cook calling us. You know, he's from the Walleyes Unlimited Club's big outing that's today.
And the football picking contest.
Will be at right after the 7:15 break.
I screwed up and forgot that last week.
Me too.
Notice how I took all the blame on that, Tom?
Yeah, that was real nice. Well, we both forgot it. And actually, Danny.
What?
It turned out good that we both forgot it.
Why?
You know why?
Why?
Because they didn't give us enough gift certificates. There's only 2 left.
Oh.
So if I would have given one out last week, there was this week and then the Super Bowl. I would have been short one.
So we'll have enough to make
so
it to the season.
So we got enough for the Super Bowl.
And what do they win
Bowl.
If they get the football picking contest?
Oh, that's another $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake.
Curly's Waterfront Pub. And we'll be talking about AJ's Fishery. I think Lunkers Unlimited has one. So Curly's has all kinds of good stuff happening throughout the winter.
Yeah, this Wally Cook from Walleyes Unlimited, he's going to be calling us at 7:05. So we're going to talk to him for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to do the Hornswoggle.
I think I'm going to drive out to AJ's. I've never been there before. Yeah. And buy some raffle tickets and see if I can be a lucky wiener.
Boy, today's a there's you know that those lakes today are going to be tough, you know, with all the snow on them. Guys will be dragging their sleds and whatever. Actually, if you got one of those, I forget what they call those, Danny, those black sleds that are
otter.
Swooped
otter
sleds.
Called an otter.
Yeah, if you got one of those, that'll make life a lot easier for you. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know what I bought? I told you I bought that 8-inch laser hand auger now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't have to lug that big Hawken.
Right.
10-inch Jiffy, which is a beautiful auger. And,
unless you got a lot of ice.
Yeah, and I got the extension, so in case I go to Lake of the Woods,
yeah.
I can, and that's it's great. Got the old Tecumseh motor, and
yep.
You get that Jiffy tune-up kit. So, but that's for the big league fishing. That's my Magnum fishing. For just local fishing, I'm going with that 8-inch hand auger. Yeah. It's big enough to get a nice pike through.
Yeah, I can't believe out on Pewaukee, like this is years ago, a guy I knew, he lives out there, and he put out some tip-ups, you know, with some shiners or whatever, and he caught a big old pike, and he only had a 6-inch hole. And it was amazing that he was able to pull. I saw pictures of the pike, and I said, how big was the ice hole? He said, 6 inches. And I said, you got that through it? And he said, yeah. He said, it started coming up. He had to drop the line, grab it by the gills, because just the head was popping through, and he had to, like, pull it and squeeze it through. I mean, it had a big old belly on it, Nat. So it was amazing what he could get through that small hole. So I think with an 8-inch hole, I think you'd be okay getting big one through.
For those of you who have not had the fortune of yet pulling in a 20-pound pike through the ice, which I've had the fortune of doing, it's amazing, Tom. Even if you have a 10-inch hole, you get those giant pike, and let's say you drilled through 3 feet of ice, which is often the case up there. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
You got enough room to pull them easily through as they're coming straight up and out.
Yeah.
The trick is when they get to the bottom of the hole, if it's a big gator like that, what happens is their head goes across the bottom of the hole and their lower lip and snout get wedged on the bottom on the other side.
Oh.
And as you're pulling straight up, you can't. So you actually
it's hard to get them in the hole.
You can't because their head is they're still basic,
horizontal. Yeah.
So what you got to do is because if you just keep pulling straight and you're pulling that hook from the front of his mouth,
right.
You're not. So you got to actually ease up, maybe kind of pull back the other direction a little bit, give it a little slack, let him back, let his snout back off the edge of the hole. And then pull
hopefully
up
get
and
it
get
through.
Him. You're kind of like steering and finessing his head up and straight to come out of the hole.
It's a lot easier, the way you explain it, it's a lot easier if you had, let's say, less than a foot of ice. It'd be a lot easier.
Right.
To get that big
pike
through
it. It would be easier.
But if you got two or three feet of ice, that's hard.
If it's a bright sunny day and you're on brilliant white snow up there on Lake of the Woods, it can be... it can be very hard to see down the hole.
Yeah.
You got to kind of, I'm holding on to the tip-up line, and I put my head down close, and slowly my eyes focus, and then you see this giant head down there. That'll get your head pounding, though.
That sure will.
Heart pounding, I should say. That was my phone, Tom.
Oh, that was your phone?
You get so faked out all the time.
Your phone and my phone sound exactly the same when
I
get a message.
But
I know we gotta. Hey, Danny, we gotta go to a break.
Don't you like pinpoint the location of the sound? Don't you have like a deer's ears where you turn it sideways?
I got headphones on. I don't know. I thought it was. Well, anyway,
that's your excuse.
All right, folks. Okay. Coming up next, we'll have a phone call from Evert Voorster from South Africa and Sadaka Safaris. So stay tuned for more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. Yeah, we just woke him up so he can answer the phone. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. I never could figure out this Radar Love one, whether he's talking to girls on the CB radio, or I never got this song, but it was cool. And who do we have on the line?
Oh, we have Evert Vorster from Sadaka Safaris. Good morning, Evert.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How are you? You're in America to promote your Sadaka Safaris, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's January, February again, and every year for the last 15 years I've been coming to the States on a marketing trip.
I was going to ask you now, you over in your country, it's summertime now, right?
Yeah, it's summer and it's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's hot. So you most of your safaris, hunting safaris, are done in your winter, which is, well, not like our winter, but it's just a little cooler, right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually pretty mild in most of the areas. And we hunt or conduct safaris from April to October, which is opposite from you guys.
Right, right.
And what kind of game do you, is it just plains game, or is it dangerous game, or a little bit all of the above, or what do you got going there?
It's all of the above, all plains game, as well as dangerous game, as well as bird hunting, as well as photographic safari. So there's quite a wide variety of options for people who want to go there.
Yeah, let me ask you that. You mentioned bird hunting, and I've got one of my magazines recently has some. I haven't read the story yet. I just glanced at it. Some guy's writing an article about bird hunting, going specifically to Africa for bird hunting. Now, I know you don't have pheasants over there. I don't think you do. What kind of bird hunting do you guys do there?
Well, we have quite a few interesting birds. We have a lot of guinea fowls and franklins and rock pigeons, and then all the water birds as well, ducks and geese. So there's a few areas in South Africa where we specifically go for that, and it presents real good bird hunting opportunity.
That sounds like something you could actually hunt and actually eat right over there as well.
Yeah, if you want to, you can.
Now,
we also with a plains game safaris, we always use the meat of the animals we hunt, and we normally have a barbecue every night of some of the best parts of the meat, and the clients can experience and taste what they hunted.
Yeah, and from what I hear of people who've had, you know, a lot of the, you know, the deer-like animals over there by you, everybody tells me that it's terrific. It's excellent eating.
Yes, there's specific species like kudu and eland and impala that's really, really very tasty, and the guys love it.
Yeah, I don't remember if you told me this or if I read this, but is it true zebra is very good eating?
That's correct.
It is.
People think it's like a horse or so, but it's not. It's actually very, very good meat. The inside, the tenderloins that we barbecue is very, very tasty and not tough at all.
We're talking to Evert Vorster from Sadaka Safaris. Now, Evert's not in South Africa right now. You're in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, I'm in Wisconsin, and I'm sorry we couldn't make the show this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy outside.
But the weather always has the last say, I guess.
Yes, it does. Now, but you're going to be doing a show up in Green Bay, is it?
Actually, not Green Bay, but we're going to have a function this coming Monday, the 20th, at Vern Valley from 5:30, 6 o'clock onwards. And we're going to meet people in person and tell them all about what we're doing, all different options on safaris, and there will be free food and drinks, and also explaining to them options on photographic safaris. It will be a nice evening, and if you want to come and meet us in person and have any questions, we'll answer them straight.
And that's Monday out at Wern Valley.
That's correct.
And what's the time on that again?
5:30, 6 o'clock.
Okay. And you said it's free? You can show up out there?
Yeah, absolutely free. And we will have a lot of my old clients, not old in age, but been to Africa a few times.
Right. So I know Mike Peevich will be there, right?
Yes, Mike Kivich will be there, and quite a few other people that have been hunting with me and coming on photographic safaris, and they will be meeting anyone and telling them in person of the experiences and show the brochures and the books and videos and everything. We're looking forward to meeting some new guys.
Evert, how long have you been doing this in South Africa?
Well, actually, it's now my 21st year professional hunting and safaris, safari guiding. I started Sadaka Safaris in 2005, so that's 15 years. And prior to that, 6 years, I've been freelancing and getting experience from other guys. So, yeah, it's quite a few years, still going strong. And it's wonderful. I always say, you know, the best part of this whole industry and way of living is meeting all the great people around the world and becoming friends and have long-lasting relationships, friendships, all the different things you experience together on a safari. That's pretty special, and that builds some amazing bonds.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, Evert, we wish you the best of luck. We hope you have a great stay here in Wisconsin. We hope a lot of people come out to Wern Valley on Monday between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. Come out and meet you and find more about Sadaka Safaris.
Thank you so much, and all the best to you guys. And hopefully next time we can come in person again.
Okay, we're looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All the best to you guys with the show.
Thanks, Evert. Bye now. Yeah, that was Evert Voorster from South
Sadaka
Africa.
Safaris.
Yeah. So
someday I'd like to get talking to him about like the dangerous game hunting.
Yeah.
Because that, you know what, as far as everybody tells me the plains game is great, then I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I did a hunt, I'd have to go for at least
one of the
dangerous.
You want something to get your adrenaline going.
I don't want to go buy a 375 H&H or anything like that, something I'm not going to really use much. But maybe a leopard. I'd like to shoot a leopard because then I could just use my 270 or 3006, something that I, you know, could use. And the only problem is they don't let you import anything. They've gone crazy with the some of those protections and so forth. So even if you shot it, you'd have to
don't know if you could bring it back.
You do know that you can't bring it back.
Well, there's some animals like those plains animals.
But it's like the leopard. Yeah. And I know they want to protect them from being
abused.
People poaching.
Over-harvest, poaching.
And so they cut the whole trade down where, you know, if they find any leopard skin anywhere, it's illegal regardless, I guess.
I bet you some people, through nefarious ways, they're still getting stuff over,
here. Their brother-in-law is good friends with a friend of a Somalian pirate who has his own little boat. Smuggling, he can maybe take a run over with your rhino horn.
Yep.
With your leopard skin.
Something like that.
Where there's a will, there's a way, Tom.
That's right. All they got to do is call Bill Belichick. Anyway, I'm going to keep picking on him. Hey, folks, we got to go to a break. Coming up is the second hour of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Thanks, folks, for sticking around for the second hour of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. He's our resident sports guru expert. Right, Sam? Did I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Close enough.
Okay, good.
I don't really know. I don't know. Yeah, that works.
That works. And, of course, folks, if you want to get in touch with us, talk about whatever, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And you can always email us live at Smokey's inbox at CEOguys@yahoo.com. And I was just wondering, it's probably still a little iffy driving on the freeways, but I bet you they got a lot more plowing done. They probably got a lot of salt down by now. Hopefully there's a lot more. By the time we get out of here, it should be just fine, Danny. What do you think?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Let's That's a definite so. Maybe, my friend.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
So Fervently. Anyway, yeah, so now we're just waiting on Wally to call. So,
are we in the second hour? Oh.
Yeah, so while we're waiting for
my
Wally.
My flip phone says 702. These flip phones are never wrong.
Oh, over in South Dakota, Dan?
Yeah.
They found three more counties with CWD. It's spreading like wildfire. Like wildfire.
Singing wildfire.
Yeah, she came off the plane.
And, is that about a horse?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's is about it? A horse. All and right. a pony they called wild.
And these were mule deer.
Mule deer.
So, yeah.
Had they been found? It was initially an elk and mule deer before the whitetails, I think, out west.
So they got the mule deer have got it. And now I think this is him now.
We got that going for us. More good
news.
It's
a different one. And see, I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah?
I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
I think your wife might say something different.
Oh, yeah. She told, I'm going to be snow blowing when I get home. So that's not so bad. I got one of them snow blowers that you pull a little, you walk behind it, it kind of pulls itself.
Okay.
So it's not like you got to push it or anything, you know.
If you have a gripper, will it drag you into the house?
I would hope so.
Just hit the emergency button. So a couple of interesting stories you're talking about, dear. Guy I work with this week, he told me that he lives, I don't know if he's around Greenfield here or where, he's in Milwaukee. Suburb area where you see all kinds of deer running through your yard all the time.
Yeah.
He gets deer right in his backyard.
Yeah.
He'll be sitting on his patio. He said this week he was in his backyard and a monster buck came along the edge of his trees and it sounded like it was only 20 feet away. He said its neck was enormous. It looked like a horse. And then he says it was pawing on the ground. I don't know what it was doing. And it was kind of like licking up in the branch up above it.
Hmm.
So, Tom, do you know what that deer was doing?
Looking for food?
Oh, man, no. Rut.
Oh, he was rutting.
Rut. There's a second rut.
Oh, that's little right. The second
fact,
rut.
There's
the
a little known
rut.
Fact
yeah.
that there's a second rut that typically we all think about that November, that first peak time of the season.
Yeah.
But for years I've heard that sometimes later, maybe like in December, whatever, there's a second rut where the deer, those that did not get impregnated prior, go into estrus and maybe some of the little doe fawns of the year, whatever, and that there's a second round. So that deer obviously had to be in rut yet. Because think about it, neck huge and swelled up, pawing the ground and doing its licking branch thing.
Licking the branches, is that putting out its scent or something? What's with the licking of the branches?
You don't know all that stuff, Tom.
I'm not a deer hunter.
Jeez.
I mean,
we could take a whole hour to talk about all that stuff. But
All right, we got Wally Cook on the line right now. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. So today's the big day.
Today is the big day.
I bet you got a lot of people out there already.
Yes, and we put a lot of work into this thing. We hope we get a lot of people come out to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, Wally is with Walleyes Unlimited. This is their big ice fishery with prizes, meat raffles, and, of course, the fishing on the area lakes. And it's out at AJ's pub out there out by Big Muskego. What's that road it's on again?
Boxhorn. Right next to the Boxhorn Gun Club.
Right next to it.
I'm not remembering.
Okay, that's all right.
Road.
Right next to Boxhorn.
It's Boxhorn Drive. So your fishery is 5 to noon. And you can fish other local lakes.
Just Big Muskego. We can fish any area lake like Wind Lake or Little Muskego or, you know, anywhere in the neighborhood.
The neighborhood, yeah.
How are ice conditions? I haven't heard of guys getting out.
No, I haven't heard of too many guys getting out either. So you just got to go out and test it out and see if you can get out.
Gotcha.
So, So there might be a lot of guys just hanging around the bar today, huh?
There might be, yes.
So
we have plenty of fun things for them to do, too.
But, Wally, that's okay as long as they're buying raffle tickets.
Exactly.
That's the main thing.
Well, I see you got a lot of fish prizes. You got walleye, bass, pike, perch, sunfish, and crappie. And then you got first, second, third place prizes for all of them. If you don't get three walleyes or three bass or whatever, do you just do like a drawing and someone can win a fish prize without catching a fish?
No, you got to catch a fish to win a prize.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right.
I agree.
Know sometimes
they'll get the AJs to be measured. We measure not by weight but by length.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But you got to buy a ticket, don't you, first?
Right. You got to buy one of the $5 tickets to be in the fish contest.
All right.
Also let you have an entry into the general raffle for the almost $6,000 worth of prizes.
And the meat raffles start at 11:30 a.m. and go until 5, so I imagine they'll have individual raffles. You got lots
individual raffles with different packages of meat, and some of the raffles include cash. We got a great lineup of meats this year. We got New York strip steaks, boneless pork loins, ribeye steaks, bacon, salami, baby back ribs. So the different packages for each meat raffle.
You're making me hungry.
yes, I have to sit there all day and watch all that meat go. Hopefully,
now,
I win one too.
Yeah, Wally. Now this is Wally's Unlimited major fundraiser, right?
This is our only fundraiser for the year.
Oh, the only one. Okay. And what do you guys do with it?
We do with the money we raise here. We do our college scholarships, the kids fishing clinics, our veterans outing, the swap meet, and, you know, it gives us the money to hire really top-notch speakers. And all of our meetings are open to the public. The Wisconsin meetings are in West Allis at the Palace Restaurant, and we meet there every other month starting in January and then March and then May, and then we take a summer break, and then we go back to the Palace Restaurant again in August.
All right. Well, it sounds like every year you have a lot of people come out there.
Oh, we have a big crowd.
And
they love our meat raffles.
Yeah, and I remember one guy. And do you have vendors come out, too, that set up shop to sell stuff?
No, not usually.
Because I guess last year or the year before, somebody did, I thought. I thought, like, a few years ago, a few people did. I mean, that's just what I heard. I don't know.
I'm not remembering that.
Okay.
But you got some great prizes there. I mean, you got the first prize, $500 cash, second, $250, and then you got Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bears, Cubs, Blackhawks, jerseys, a Jiffy Power Auger. I'd like to win that.
The and big fish Power Auger that was donated by Dale Stroshine.
Oh, that's great.
That was nice by Dale.
And we got two St. Croix fishing rods, two TFO fishing rods. We got some ice fishing rod and reel combos. You know, a reel donated by Shimano. So we got some nice prizes.
Wow, it sounds like it.
And lots of gift packages, too. We get local people to donate a gift card to their establishment. So we got five groups of them. You know, the value on them ranges anywhere from about $80 to about $150.
So let me ask you, if one of our listeners has a lot going on today, but at about 4 o'clock they think, hey, they want to drive out to AJ's, can they still get in there in time to buy a general raffle ticket?
Absolutely. You can buy general raffle tickets right up until the time we start the drawing, which will be about 5 o'clock.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
Well, Wally, thanks for all the info. I'm sure you got a lot to do today.
We certainly do. Yeah. I got some snow to deal with, too.
Oh, I know. That's tough. But anyway, thanks, Wally. Good luck. And we know it's going to be a big success.
Well, we appreciate your guys' help.
Okay. Thanks, Wally.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Okay, bye now. That was Wally Koch from Walleyes Unlimited. Got their big ice jamboree. And right now, if you want, we can play the Hornswoggle. So you'd have to call right now at 799-1250.
Name was Walt Cook.
Cook?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Wally Koch.
I'm sorry. I meant Wally
Walt
Cook.
Walt Cook.
Well, it's spelled K-O-C-H, and you never know how to say it. Before, I was saying Cook, and today I kind of screwed
Cook
up. Yeah, oh well.
I'll take blame, too. I kind of recommended that.
Cook?
Cook pronunciation.
Yeah, isn't it Cook?
I don't know. Some people, it's spelled that way, and they pronounce it Cook. I don't know.
That's what I was pronouncing it.
Yeah, you did good to start with. Okay,
are we
going to do the Hornswoggle?
Yeah, Hornswoggle, 799-1250. Win a $10 gift certificate right now. We're not going to wait for the break. We're going to do it right now because after the break, We got a caller right away. That's good.
Get organized over there. Well, get your list.
I got to give the list.
Stuff's falling off the thing.
If you've won
in the last month or so, try and give somebody else a chance because we want to have everyone a chance to.
Yeah, I'm giving Sam the list. He's going to check it twice. So if your name is here, wait a minute.
If you've won any of the Green Bay Packer contest, we want to give everybody a chance to win some of our contests. So if you won any of our contests in like the last month.
Right. If your name is Matt, Roger, Dave, Paul, or Ray. who do you got on the line?
Mike in Oconomowoc.
Okay, he's good to go. Oconomowoc. Good morning,
people,
Mike.
You could just use a fake name
there,
guys. Tom.
How are you today?
Hey, we're fine. What are you doing up this morning?
I like getting up early. I got up at about 5.
Hey, all right. So you've been riding the rails with us for a while then. So.
Yeah, I got you right away. I'm right at 6.
Okay, so we go. You got to get 2 out of 3 right. This topic today... is sturgeon. So here we go. In 2019, last year, there were over 30 sturgeon that were over 100 pounds. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Got a ring.
Right away. Okay. That's one.
Okay, in the 1600s, the chief of the Winnebago tribe had two sons. One's name was John, the other Stir. He was fishing along the shores of the Wolf River when he hooked into a monstrous fish. As he was battling the beast, he could barely get it in, so he yelled to both of his sons. He yelled, "Stir, John!" By the time they got to the shoreline, he dragged the beast ashore, and that's how it got the name, sturgeon.
Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Well, you just won that $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake.
We're interrupting, Tom. We're not done here.
Well, I know, I'm just kidding, buddy. Won. Okay.
Let's see if you get the third one.
Yeah.
Okay, in 1955, Marilyn Dipper actually got pulled into the hole by a 100-plus-pound sturgeon.
Could you repeat it? I didn't hear the whole thing. I'm sorry.
In 1955, a lady named Marilyn Dipper got pulled into the water by a 100-plus-pound sturgeon. Pulled right into the hole.
Hornswoggle.
All right. Well, you got some tough ones this week there, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll put you on hold, and we'll have Sam IM get your address, and we should be good to go.
All right.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Hey, bye now. All right, let me give this to Sam. He can do that. Oh, Sam, we're going to go to a break right now. So,
okay, you got him going in two directions.
I know.
Once,
get us in the commercials.
Sam's looking pretty disgusted over there.
And after this break, we're going to be playing the NFL football picking contest, win a $10 gift certificate to, the other one was Carl's Country Market. He's going to get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market.
Mike gets it.
And then this contestant who wins the NFL football picking wins the $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. I'll get this straight one of these days. One of these years.
Let poor Sam go to break.
All right, Sam,
how long
let's
is
go
this
to break.
Guy going
to
go on?
All right.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Tom, I got a couple stories to tell you.
But first, we got to do the NFL football picking contest.
We
got to
do the football picking contest.
Yeah,
we got to do it this week.
Yeah, because we have a contestant.
A lucky someone who's hoping to be a wiener.
Yep. Who do you got on the line there?
Everybody's a wiener.
Randy and Grafton.
All right, Randy and Grafton. How are you doing, Randy?
Hi, Randy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, it's our friend Randy. Randy Reading, right?
Yay.
Yeah, you know, I hear your brother on all the other shows during the week.
Oh, yeah. He's on there quite a bit yapping.
Yeah, he does.
He's a so-called. But I tell you, the guy seems to have, I occasionally take a tip from him.
Yeah, he seems like he's got a little insight in that. So I got to ask Sam, what's the spread on today's game?
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
49ers are favored by 7.5.
Okay, so Randy, who do you like in this game?
Well, who do you like, Tom? You've asked me to defer to you on fishing
Oh, no, I haven't.
And strategy my entire life.
No, right, I haven't.
You're right.
Bass.
Me too. I know not. How you feel, Randy. We're all deferring to Tom.
So you want me to go first, huh?
Sure.
I'm going to take the 49ers.
You know what? I will too.
And
Danny?
I will take. Wait, Sam's in this too, right?
Yeah, Sam's in
this.
Who
do you take, Sam?
Packers. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Second time's the charm. I don't care about the 49ers defense.
I'm going to take the 49ers. And you guys want to hear my logic on this?
Sure. Why
not?
Here
we go. Okay. So they're 13-3. They're playing at home. Do you remember back to 96 when the Packers finally went 13-3? We got home field advantage. We felt like this is our year. We got the Panthers came in. They played them okay. The Packers still probably won 27-10, and that was that. It was expected. That's going to happen down there. We're not going to get blown out, but this is the 49ers' year. It's their stadium. They're the favorite. They're set up to go.
I just think they're an overall better team.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That 96 Packer team was the best team in the NFL that year.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, end up,
the best.
Fellas, but given the spirit of this team, if they win, I may cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The best team in the NFL doesn't win every year, the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? How many times?
Well,
15-1 Packers one year made it. 15 the Patriots all the way through when they got knocked out by the Giants that knocked us out in 2007.
You know, the way I look at it is that if the Packers were to win this game, I bet on them for the Super Bowl because I think any one of the NFC teams, either San Francisco or the Packers, will beat any AFC team.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
I kind of think the AFC is tougher than the NFC. I don't know.
No.
You got Patrick Mahomes and you got Derrick Henry.
No,
you're talking about
Patrick Mahomes
and Kansas City Chiefs?
These girls over there, they don't know what they're doing.
So I'm secretly cheering for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Are you?
In the AFC.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cheering for, hey, I like Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to our next pick, Tom.
Randy. Oh.
We're deferring to you, Tom.
Oh, we got a pick two? Oh, that's right. We got two. Yeah, might as well take two.
All those concussions you've had over
there. All right, Randy.
Forget stuff.
We got another game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you guys.
As typical, I will defer to Danny.
Okay, this time to Danny.
Okay, now I'm getting deferred.
Because it's the AFC.
Chiefs are favored by 7 points.
Once again, I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Okay.
And I think this is the weekend when both favorites win. Yeah.
Yeah. And who do you like there, Sam?
Oh, this one's tough. I'll go Tennessee just because Derrick Henry's got like over 200 yards after contact this postseason, which is ridiculous.
And I'll take the Chiefs. And Randy?
Yeah. I my heart is with Andy Reid too, and I'll also think they have a prolific offense. Go with the Chiefs.
Okay.
So as it stands, you're an automatic winner.
Well, great, because my brother won a few weeks ago.
Good.
Yeah, your brother did. I remember that. Yeah.
Hey, just to throw in a fishing report, I got a call from my friend, Southern Door County. They're actually getting some walleyes on the ice, and I wouldn't even be on the phone if it wasn't for this weather with you guys. And Danny, think about going after some pike late ice or early spring up in Raleigh's Bay.
Okay, it's interesting because I was going to give you a call about that because when we were up smallmouth fishing in that area this spring, we got, Ron Johnson did. He got some really big pike. So we've been talking about getting up there in some of those haunts. So I'll be in touch.
Yeah, the DNR survey results a couple years ago, a biologist told me that he suggested that. And, it's worth trying.
All right.
All right.
Okay, buddies.
Well, Randy, it was good talking to you again. Don't be a stranger.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Stay on the line. We got to get your info. Okay? All right. He's staying on the line. You can take care of him while Danny and I talk.
I mean, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here I got a few more. Well, that's the football picking stuff. Do you want to talk a little more football or not?
Nah, we're done with football.
You are? Okay.
Anyway, I heard a story about a hunter down south that got bit by a copperhead snake.
Oh.
And guess where he got bit?
Don't tell me in the family jewels.
No. Why is it always going to...
Well, when you say guess where he got bit, it would be like the worst. It would be like the worst thing possible.
Okay, let's not. We're not talking about end of the world Armageddon.
That would have been.
Okay, that's what we're not. It's not that bad.
Okay, where was he bit?
He got bit on the top of his head.
How did he get... Okay, let me ask you. How did he get bit on the top of his head?
Thank you, Tom. The snake was in a tree.
Oh.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The story was the guy was coming back from, I think he was doing some maybe waterfowl hunting or something. And they had their dog, and he's with a friend, and there was a creek. And he went to go and jump across it. But right before he went to jump, he said something hit him in the head so hard he thought he'd got hit by a .22 bullet. He thought he'd been hit by that, or it felt like the back of an axe hitting him.
Wow.
And then when he turned around and turned his flashlight up into the tree, there's this copperhead snake getting ready to try and take a shot at him again. So apparently the theory is that apparently there was flooding down there, and they figure the the copperhead got washed on up. And in the floodwaters, it latched onto the tree and just kind of curled up, nestled there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was still there when they went by. Although one of the biologists did say that copperhead snakes can, it's very rare, but can climb trees if they want. In particular, they said there's one time a year when there's some type of little hatch or something where there's some little bugs or something up in the tree in these little shells or something where they might go up. Climb up and get those. But yeah, he got hit in the back of the head. Now they stayed calm. They got in and got to the anti-venom. You know, they called the hospital. They were ready for him. And he was out in a day or two, but he said, it was funny. He says, I'm okay. He says, I just feel like my head is throbbing like it does after a 2-day drunk. He said, but yeah. And then there was another story I read, another snake story. A guy was down south deer hunting. And he had like a little blind made out of wood, and he put a pallet on the ground for the bottom of it. Sat in his deer stand, first light for like 2 hours from about 6 o'clock on, and about 8 o'clock he hears this strange kind of rattling buzzing sound. And at first he's like, what's that sound? Is it coming from the trees outside? He's sticking his head up looking into the trees around his blind, and then it gets louder and louder, and he's thinking, he's never heard one before, but he thinks, boy, that sounds like how a snake's supposed to sound. And then he looks down at his feet, and he can, between, in the pallet, below his feet, between the boards, is this big rattlesnake.
Oh, my goodness.
And so guess what he did?
Ran?
No, he did. He shot straight up into the air, jumped straight on up, and landed on his chair. But that got the snake more agitated. So it started striking the bottom of his chair.
Oh, my goodness.
So he knew that he couldn't make it out, you know, without getting bit in the leg. So he took his deer rifle and thought, I got to shoot this thing, right?
Yeah, right, definitely.
So he's got a 270, right? Well, you know, if you have a scope, we were talking about this when I was talking about squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
How the scope is mounted an inch and a half above the barrel.
Right.
So up close, if you put the crosshairs on something, you're going to shoot below it.
Right.
Because it takes a while for that crosshairs to be adjusted to, you know, hit down the actual line of travel of where the bullet, the path that it generally follows.
Right.
So anyway, he then just pointed the barrel right at it and tried to put it by its head, and just as it was going to strike, he blasted it. But when you look at the picture, its head is intact, so he must have just kind of hit part of its head.
Or in the mouth.
I don't know what I think that, it wasn't blown to heck. Otherwise, it would have been blown to heck. But then the problem was he's shooting a 270 in this enclosed little 4x4 thing.
Yeah.
Guy says his ears were ringing all day long. He couldn't hear.
Oh, geez.
But shows a picture of him holding the snake. But he said they'll never let that happen again.
Wow.
Imagine how you could go to instant. That would be instant panic. I mean, that would be instant panic where you're going to crap your pants when you see something like that.
Hey, we got a couple of emails we can read real quick here. This one is from Paul. Paul says, the bucks by me are chasing the does in New Berlin.
Okay.
So second rut.
Yep.
He agrees.
All right.
All right. We got another one here. This one is from Dan, and this is about pork. He says, I have been a meat cutter for well over 50 years, and with very few exceptions, we never got frozen pork in to cut. Okay, you know, Dan, when I regurgitate something, it's like from what I heard. So maybe it was froze before it ever got to you. I don't know. But like Dan said, they've done away with a lot of that stuff, you know. So nice. I might be totally wrong.
Could
but
be
that's
wrong
what
on
I,
that one.
But that's what I was told by an actual meat cutter at one of the stores. So that's what he told me. A meat cutter told me that. So, Dan, I believe you. I'm just telling you, I'm just repeating what I
that's
heard.
That's the first
from a
time
meat cutter.
If you are wrong, Tom.
That's a rarity, but
that's his first time ever that either of us have been wrong on anything on this show.
Yeah, we're rarely wrong. But Dan, appreciate you letting us know. So, you know, maybe they don't freeze at all. I don't know. But like I said, that's just what I heard. I better when I get home, I'll ask Alexa.
Ask your girlfriend.
No, it's not my girlfriend. It's Alexa. It's that little computer voice thing.
It's like your fantasy girlfriend.
Yeah, it's a little round thing.
I can always dream,
you got one
of
those, Sam? You don't have one of those, Dan, do you?
What?
It's just a little round box, and you say, Alexa, and it turns on, and you ask it questions, and it gives you answers.
I don't need no stinking Alexa box. What kind of a guy am I?
You know what I need, though? Mm-hmm. I need a commercial break. That's right. What I need. So if you want to get in touch with us, folks, 414-799-1250. We'll be right back on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. You know, we got a lot of friends out there who, you know, maybe I see you once every 3 months and you say, hey, I listen to you guys every weekend. And we really appreciate all the people out there listening. We've got some great people out there. We also always try and thank the people that are doing their best to help and protect us, our police officers, our first responders, service members, of course. Thanks to all of you, and thanks for listening.
All right. Who do we have on the line?
Tom.
Yeah, we got Tom Mitchell from the Waukesha.
All right.
Or is it the Waukesha? I can never keep that. Al Shook Tom likes to say Waukesha. I say Waukesha. So
I say Waukesha, too.
Well, Waukesha, but Gun Club. So, yeah, thanks for calling. And
hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Yep, this
We're
is
good.
Tom. We got Sam here. I know you listen to the show a lot, but anyway... my Tom here. I met Tom at one of the fisheries out at Waterfront last year, and
okay.
He was talking about the Waukesha Gun Club, and, you know, I hear those shotgun shots in the morning as I get up drinking my coffee in Pewaukee, and I've never actually been out there, so I thought maybe, Tom, you could tell us a little bit about what your club has to offer out there.
Right now, we have our five-stand league going on. It's we have three heated indoor stands, and you can shoot in any weather. You can even shoot in today. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there today shooting.
Where are you located?
On Watertown Road and Redford Drive. It's right up the freeway.
It is kind of hidden there. Yeah, I'm surprised, Tom. So you've
is this
never
is
been
the
there?
One, no, this is the one where if I went out Capitol Drive, I'd turn by the mobile station?
If
okay. No.
No.
actually, if you exited, if you were on 94 heading west,
and
you is it the exit where the machine shed and those
motels
are?
Okay, I know
where
that one is.
It's the one before that. It's where the old American used to be.
Okay, American Appliances. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you exit right there, and then you go down the road and take a left, correct? Is that
correct.
It? Yeah.
And is it?
Highway M or Watertown Road.
Okay.
Yeah. And you got a pretty big range there. I've driven by there, and it looks like you got a big setup out there. So now, are you guys open year round? Then,
yes, we're open year round. Tuesdays we're open 2 to 8. Wednesdays we're open noon to 8. Thursdays, noon to 8. We just opened Friday.
I know where it is now. Because if you go down that main road that American was on, you can see it. It's on the west side of the road, right?
Correct.
And I can see it. Yeah, I know where it is now. Okay, I know where it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys are open throughout the year. And now it looks like you got some leagues going on. But what do you have, like sporting clays, trap? And do you have something if somebody just, say, wants to just drive out there and not maybe do a league, but just wants to pay by the hour or whatever day to go shoot?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we're Tuesday through Sunday, we're open. Fridays, we just opened. We're open from noon till 6. And I was out there last night at 5 o'clock. I got snuck in a quick round of five stand before the snow came.
Do you got an indoor range for handguns in that?
No. Strictly shotgun only.
Shotgun only,
slugs,
okay.
No rifles, no pistols.
All right.
Like our five stand league is we have 581 people in the five stand league. That's why we opened on Fridays to try to
reach
them.
That's a lot of people in a league. That's pretty popular. So, and you are open Sunday mornings, correct? Because that's when I hear all the shooting.
Oh yeah, Saturdays and Sundays we open. We're open from 9 to 3.
Now, Tom, it's time to let you brag a little bit. How are you out of 25 birds?
I think he's a competitive shooter, Tom.
Well, I'm just kind of curious.
Okay, go ahead,
what do you do for 25 birds?
In five stand, you shoot 50.
50, okay.
I shot a 50 out of 50.
You did? On Friday?
Yeah.
Well, you're pretty good.
I get lucky once in a while.
Yeah. Thursday,
I didn't shoot so well.
But the thing is, you put in practice, and that's what people can do out at the Waukesha Gun Club. They put in the practice, they get better as time goes by.
Now, do you have people out there that give rookies advice at all?
Yes, we do. We do have, on the weekends, we have range officers. They're more than happy. We rent guns. You can buy your ammo there. We'll take you out, help you out, show you what you have to do.
So if they wanted to contact you guys, is there a phone number or should they just Google Waukesha Gun Club?
The phone number there is 262-547-9785.
Okay.
Or you can go to the website, which is www.waukeshagunclub.org.
Okay, .org.
And they have a listing of all the hours and pricing. And
so that's pretty simple, waukeshagunclub.org. Yeah, that's easy. People can remember that.
And it sounds like you got some guns, rental guns or whatever that people...
Oh, yeah. You can rent guns there. We can take care of you. We do a lot of corporate outings. Those are really quite popular.
Oh, mm-hmm. Where you get a bunch of people from a company and they want to kind of do a party and...
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Go out
we
and...
do... when you're done shooting, you can come into the clubhouse and have a soda or a beer.
Or a six-foot sub.
but we just serve Palermo's.
Oh, there you go.
Those things are excellent.
The Palermo's excellent, a Milwaukee company. Yeah.
Palermo's. And then you got some shells?
We sell shells. You can buy them by the box. You can buy them by the flat.
So you pretty much got everything once you come on out there. So, yeah, because I know it's a nice little resource out there, and you guys are kind of off the beaten path, and so that's kind of why I wanted you to call and kind of try and let our listeners know about it out there.
Oh, yeah, we are open to the public. A lot of people don't know that, but you can come on in and we'll take care of you.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Tom. Appreciate it.
Still shooting today in the snow and the wind? Still going down?
Oh, yeah.
The show
not a problem.
The show goes on.
Yeah. our five stands are heated. So you go out there. Yesterday I shot, I had a turtleneck and a hoodie on.
Hey, there we go.
That's pretty nice. All right, Tom, thanks for calling.
All right, take care,
and
Tom.
Good luck. Stay dry.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
take
bye
care.
Now.
Bye.
Yeah, that sounds, I've driven by that many times. I used to go that way for a reason. And,
right.
And it's like, oh, God, I'm trying to think of the name of that road that the American was on, that exit, to get to it. But it's easy to find, I mean, it's real easy off the freeway there. And you can see it from the road, on the main road there.
Right.
It's right there.
And I do hear the shots
in
the morning.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
So, and Tom is told me that sometime you and I ought to go out there. I guess maybe when I'm retired, I'll have more time. I can go drive on down the road. Just seems like I'm always out hunting or fishing. Yeah. So yeah, and then tomorrow, guess what I'm doing tomorrow? Come on, Tom, you can do it.
Not ice fishing.
Okay.
Not squirrel hunting.
Okay.
You're going to a big. You're shooting some kind of bird. What are you shooting?
I'm going shooting some kind of big bird. I'm going to go shoot a pterodactyl, Tom. No, I'm going to go with Al Shook pheasant hunting.
Oh, you're going pheasant hunting.
Yeah. Me and good buddy Al.
Oh, there you go.
Al Shook, the quick and the deadly.
Yeah, the quick and the deadly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like eating pheasants. The only thing I don't like, I always got to take off all of that yellow fat. They have yellow fat.
Yellow fat.
Yeah, I take all of that off. Get rid of all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're good eating.
Well, I'm hoping to collect a few of them over the next couple of weeks, and then I got some squirrel in the freezer. This is the first year in many years I didn't shoot a deer and have the freezer full of deer, so I got to fill it up with something. So I figure squirrel, pheasant. Maybe I'll go blast a turkey this spring. Maybe have my brother blast one for me. And then I can cook that all at the 4th of July cookout, the annual grill that we have.
There you go.
So yeah, there we go. Get ready for my wild game feast.
All right. Well, when we come back after this break, got to tell you a couple of stories about swans and mule deer. But I think you'll find the mule deer one the funniest. But we'll be right back, and we'll tell you all that stuff. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. You know, sometimes your lips get just
I have that.
Totally screwed up.
I got
up.
That problem all the time.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned for more on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds. We were talking.
Yeah.
Was I on live yakking about just in time. Yeah. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. What do you got, Tom?
I got a few things for you. First of all, there's some stupid people out there.
I'll tell you. Common dummies, my dad used to call them.
What did he call them?
My dad, a common dummy.
Oh, common dummy. And what did John say? You can't fix stupid and crack don't smoke itself. So, how about this?
You said you can't fix ugly either.
Yeah, over there in Iowa, the DNR received an anonymous tip from a man about somebody shooting trumpeter swans. So they go out there and check. A hunter alerted authorities of a man shooting trumpeter swans on the marsh. The hunter later heard three shots and then saw three swans flopping in the water as other swans flew over. The DNR conservation warden, he goes out there and he sees this guy shoot a swan. And then he goes over, he's got three swans piled up by him, and he's getting ready to shoot another one. The DNR guy says, "What the hell are you doing?" He says, "I'm just shooting geese."
Thought it was geese.
Thought they were geese.
Okay.
Now there's a big difference. Sam, have you ever seen a trumpeter swan?
I've not.
No. Well, there's a big difference between that and a goose.
I suppose he might think they're snow geese.
They're awful big, though, those trumpeter swans.
Yeah, well,
they're big.
Nowadays, geese are on roids, man. You can get some big geese.
Anyway, so that Yahoo.
Okay, you got that Yahoo. You got another dummy to talk about?
Okay, there was over.
Dummy number two.
This is in Oregon.
Oregon.
Is it Oregon or Oregon?
I don't know. Is it
Sam?
Waukesha or Waukesha?
Oregon or water? Oregon.
It's Waukesha.
It's Waukesha.
Because I'm from Waukesha.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks.
Oregon. I think it's Oregon.
Oregon? Okay. Yeah. Kind of like origami. Okay. Anyway, over there in Oregon, police say a young man was arrested after he was caught on video riding on the back of a mule deer that was trapped in a fenced area. He was arrested for riding the mule deer. They called it something like harassing wildlife or something like
that. I heard about that one.
Wouldn't
that be kind of tough riding a mule deer like that?
What if it was a buck and it had horns? I mean, that could kill you.
Yeah, man. get some have some injuries
maybe,
there.
Maybe he should just join the rodeo and practice on bulls.
So speaking of young man and police, I got a story to tell you,
okay.
Tom. Okay. So I was talking to my brother about this, and this is one I totally forgot. I laughed for 5 minutes when we were talking about it this week. So years ago, I grew up in Green Bay. And in Green Bay, at age 14, back in the day when you got your hunter safety, that meant that you could go hunt by yourself.
Okay.
You used to have to be 16 to hunt by yourself.
Right.
But if you had that little hunter safety, it was a little green card.
Yeah.
So anyway, my brother and I would go out by the railroad tracks with our 22s and stuff. And technically, the borderline was the railroad tracks, but sometimes maybe we'd be hunting and shooting on the city limit side of the border, but nobody really cared, right?
Right.
You're out there in the country,
yeah.
Railroad tracks. So anyway, one day there was an escaped convict, a dangerous convict, escaped from the penitentiary up in Green Bay.
Oh, boy.
Now, my buddy Rob Gilson, he had a police radio, and all through, you know, late elementary school into junior high, he'd always be at home listening to this police radio.
Okay.
So Gilly, called him Gilly. Gilly's home listening to his police radio, and he hears that the Green Bay Police Department is scrambling to bring in, you know, special units, SWAT and everything, because apparently the escaped convict had been spotted, and they were scrambling to close in on him. Okay. So my brother's out on the railroad tracks with his 22 Model 39A, right? Yeah. He's wearing his green army coat. And anyway, he's walking along the ditch by the railroad tracks, and there's a trailer park right adjacent.
Yeah.
Somebody in the trailer park had looked and had heard about escaped convict that was all over the news, saw him, and called the police.
Oh, boy.
So cops are scrambling from everywhere, and my buddy's listening to it on the police radio. My brother's walking along the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden, he's got all these cops popping out of nowhere. Freeze! Drop your weapon!
Yeah.
And he's like, he drops the 22. What are you doing? He goes, shooting blackbirds. And the cops, he said, the cop, they all
yeah,
had their fingers pointed at him, right?
Sure, yeah.
And he said the police officers, he could see their faces. They just visibly just... relaxed, right? And then they all kind of looked at each other, kind of like half chuckling. So, but it scared the crap out of my brother.
Oh, I can imagine.
And he said they might have got on him because he's, you know, shooting black. Well, back then, I think it was legal to shoot red-winged blackbirds. I think you could shoot them off the stalks. And back then, I think any blackbird was legal, grackle, starling, whatever. But anyway, when my brother went home and told my dad, he said my dad could not stop laughing. Just laugh. He thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, scared the crap out of him.
That would be scary.
And the cops, they really thought he was some bandit there.
Did they ever catch the guy?
I don't know if they ever caught the guy or not, but he must have been a real dangerous guy.
I bet
you
they did catch him.
It must have been a real dangerous guy for them to go with that heavy response like they did.
Those people who escape prisons, they eventually get caught.
You know, the other thing that along the railroad tracks growing up, sometimes we'd have legends. We kids, we'd talk about bums.
Yeah, the hobos.
Or hobos.
Yeah.
And we were afraid that maybe some of them would be, you know, riding the tracks and so forth. You know, once or twice, we actually found campfires, old camps along the tracks where there was an old campfire that had been put out. And one time we found where there had been a skinned rabbit. And we always wondered whether there were like, you know, And I guess calling them, but, you know, my dad told me when he got out of Korea, he said that they actually had like someplace around that time, they actually had a national hobo convention where they'd actually all ride the rails to the, like, you know how like Sturgis has a motorcycle rally? There was actually a big thing.
Yeah.
And not all of them were bad people.
No.
A lot of them, that was just kind of a lifestyle. They kind of traveled town to town and you'd hop a train.
Wow.
Kind of interesting.
It's different. Getting back to those convicts, do you remember there were two guys who escaped from Alcatraz that they never found, and the legend continues, you know, that they
the
were
guys
alive and all
right,
that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they had a special on TV about that, and it was actually really interesting. You know, it was really good. The other one that was super interesting. What was that serial killer? Bundy. What was his full name?
Theodore.
Something. He had three names.
Theodore Cleaver
three names.
Bundy.
Yeah, something like that. That if you ever get a chance to watch that.
Well, they were doing a series on Discovery Channel or something. Yeah. Weren't they going? And he was a younger, good-looking guy,
yes,
and well-spoken, kind of charming. And so that's why he could get those young women to trust him.
I think it was...
jumped out the window of a courthouse one time.
Yeah, I think it was on Netflix where they had this special. And that was a really... And they even had... they had a tape of him in the courthouse and all that you actually saw the real person when he was on trial and all that.
Right.
And yeah, and he could only remember 30 women that he killed, but they think that he killed a lot more than that. But if you get a chance to watch that Bundy one, that's creepy chilly. You know, that's creepy.
Creepy chilly.
Yeah.
Creepy crawler. Yeah. Did they execute him?
You know, now I
think they did.
I think they did because he had a girlfriend in jail and actually got married and had a kid while he was in jail. Some crazy woman.
Why are they letting them have kids while they're in jail?
I know, that's dumb.
What the heck?
What's
the matter with women? Why they always go, you know, you have some nutcase, some bad guy. Like Scott Peterson years ago, I think he was getting love letters from all these girls. Why do they always like the bad boy?
I don't know.
They all say they want a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, that is. Well, listen, Danny, have a safe drive home. You too, Sam. It's kind of nasty. I'm looking at the snow really coming down now. So, all right, I'm heading out of here.
That's all I got.
All the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, get out there, do something, have fun, don't fall through the ice. We'll talk to you all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.